Today we continue talking about the two witnesses found in Revelation, the 11th chapter. We ended yesterday by reading verse 5, actually verse 6 of Revelation 11. It says, "These," that is the two witnesses, "have power to shut up the sky in order that rain may not fall during the days of their prophesying." Now in the Bible, it's interesting that Elijah prophesied that it would not rain, and it didn't rain. Where did he get the information that it wouldn't rain? God said in the Bible, in Leviticus 26, that if his people continue to rebel against him, he will dry up the sky so that it does not rain, and there will be famine and drought on the earth. And of course, when we talk about the two witnesses being the Old and New Testament, they are none other than the Word of God. When we're saying that they have power, we mean God's Word has power, just as we saw in the story of Elijah, where it didn't rain until that period of time was over. It continues halfway through verse 6. It says, "They have power over the waters to turn them into blood and to smite the earth with every plague as often as they desire." So the Word of God used by Moses and Aaron back at the time when Israel was delivered from Egypt had the power to cause the water to turn to blood and do all the other plagues. God's Word has power. And then it says in verse 7, "And when they have finished their testimony," that doesn't mean when the Bible is all done it's with its usefulness. It means when they have finished their testimony clothed in sackcloth. That is their period of mourning, their period where their witness is not complete, known as the Dark Ages. When they have finished that period of time, when they have finished their testimony, the beast that comes up out of the abyss will make war with him and overcome them and kill them. So here we see a battle happening at the close of the 1260-year prophecy, a battle over the Bible to destroy the Bible. Do we find that in history? We sure do. We continue reading in verse 8. "And their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which mystically is called Sodom in Egypt, where also their Lord was crucified." Now this is where it gets into a riddle, and the symbols are a little bit difficult to decode. But as we look back in history, during the time that the end of the 1260-year period, which would be the 1790s, the two superpowers in the world were France and England. And we're focusing on France in this story, and Paris being the capital and center of French activity. It says the great city, which is mystically or symbolically called Sodom. Now, we go to Paris during that time, and they gave up past traditions. They gave up the Bible. They gave up morality. It became much like Sodom and Gomorrah that God destroyed with fire. So the immorality is represented by Sodom. And Egypt, it says, where also the Lord was crucified. So Egypt represented high-handed rebellion against God, which was exactly what was going on in the French Revolution starting in 1789 and continuing on for several years. So this is a fit representation, symbolically, of what was going on in Paris and the rest of France during the French Revolution. Now it says, "where also their Lord was crucified." You say, wait a minute. Jesus was crucified in Jerusalem. Well, the Bible says that as we continue in sin, we crucify Jesus anew or afresh. In other words, our sins nailed him to the cross. And so as we continue in sin knowingly, it's like crucifying Jesus. And so when it says where also the Lord was crucified, Jesus said, if you do it to the least of these, you've done it to me. And so there's a connection between what was going on there against God's people and the crucifixion of Christ. And so these symbols are very fitting to the French Revolution headed in Paris, France. Pastor Dennis, realitychecksseminars.com.